We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Well, right now, the John Heyman Report is brought to you by Sport Clips. You watch sports, we cut hair, it's perfect. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy, by Merrick Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, and by Brothers Supply, your number one source for ice, air, P-Tax, water source, heat pumps, and fan coils, the great John Heyman. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Evan?
I'm a little annoyed with you. Not thrilled with you.
What'd I do?
Well, first of all, I mean, very disrespectful when I pointed out the truth, which is that you're wrong about this AL Rookie of the Year thing. And you said, what do I know? Here's what I know. I'll tell you right now what I know.
That was a light.
I know. I'm playing with it. Okay. Here's what I know, all right? Miguel Andujar has nearly double the plate appearances as Shohei Ohtani. I get it. He pitched. All right. He just came back and made a start recently, last about two innings. What, do you think that's enough to put him over Miguel Andujar for Rookie of the Year?
I do.
How?
I do. I know that in New York I'm alone on this. I could tell from my responses on Twitter, but the first time I tweeted it, I got about 500 likes. So somebody out there must agree.
That means nothing.
I don't know where they are, but probably in California. But
yeah.
The guy is doing something historic. He's a fantastic pitcher, and he's a fantastic hitter. He's got 15 home runs in very few at-bats. He threw 100 miles an hour when he was healthy. I think what he's done is historic. Andujar is fantastic. If somebody tells me it's Andujar, I get it. He's been healthy the whole year. He's been productive. He's playing for a playoff team, which doesn't hurt, and... I understand, but I don't have that vote, so everybody can rest easy. But,
that's true. At least you're not voting this way. But
at least I'm not voting this terrible way.
I acknowledge that what Ohtani's doing is historic in that when he has pitched, he's been very good, and when he has hit, he's been very good. And it makes you dream of, hey, what could he do with 30 starts and 500 plate appearances? But isn't there a cutoff where you have to do it more?
No. I supported Gary Sanchez a couple of years ago, so nobody can say I'm hypocritical anyway. I don't remember who won. It was a couple of years ago, and I didn't have that vote either, I don't believe. But I thought Sanchez should be the Rookie of the Year, and he'd only played 2 months. So he played less than Ohtani. I just thought what he was doing was spectacular. Somebody else won.
Michael Fulmer won that year.
Okay, there you go. And Sanchez was second. I don't know if he got any first-place votes. He might have gotten a couple.
Four.
If I had that vote, I would have voted for Sanchez. I just thought he was, again, spectacular. Historic like Ohtani, but spectacular.
Well, no, but you know what? Sanchez kind of was historic. I mean, it hit 20 home runs in 53 games is an insane pace. So
insane, yeah.
It was historic.
Really great. I thought he was really doing something really eye-opening and fantastic. And Fulmer was really good, too. So, I didn't argue with the people who thought it was Fulmer, and I got it. And I was in the vast minority, and again, I'm in the vast minority.
You know what it is?
If anyone thinks I'm anti-Yankee or anti-full year of playing, I'm not, because I supported Sanchez. And, I was in the vast minority back then, too.
Here's the problem I have with this, right? It doesn't make you a bad human being, obviously.
Not quite.
Andujar is basically playing every single day. Every day we see him, Every day he's hitting, every day he's contributing. And, yes, being in a pennant race helps, but that's not even the end-all be-all. It feels like we've barely seen Ohtani. You know what I mean? I know he's played, and now he's back.
When you see him, it's an event.
I get it's an event, but he hasn't done it enough. If he did
in the National League, I think some Marlins people are telling me it should be Anderson for the Rookie of the Year. He plays every single day. He's really good. But he hasn't been spectacular. Soto has been spectacular, and Acuna has been spectacular. And obviously now Soto and Acuna have played enough where nobody other than the Marlins are going to seriously argue against them. But, I thought Acuna or Soto was the guy even at the All-Star break when they had very few at-bats. If someone is spectacular, to me that's that is the key. You know, if you're really good and you play every day, you show up every day, that's nice, but that doesn't make you rookie.
But Brian Anderson's not having, I mean, look, for a rookie, he's having a fine year. He's not nearly as good as Acuña. You can argue Andujar versus Ohtani, and it probably works out as Andujar.
In some sense, in some ways, nobody's nearly as good as Ohtani. I mean, there's nobody. Ohtani is a great runner, too. Ohtani throws 100 miles an hour. Ohtani's got, what is he, 15 home runs and 200 at-bats? There's nobody like Ohtani.
Well, yeah, he's doing something we've never seen before. He's got 16 home runs. See, you're not giving him enough credit.
How many does he have?
16 home runs.
Sorry.
He's having
one. You know, those West Coast games, they're rather late for me. I tried to sit up to watch the tennis last night. What a match that was. And I understand we're not really talking tennis, but geez.
Hey, we had
I mean, it was 1:30. I fell asleep. It was 2-2 in the fifth. Incredible. I feel terrible. I mean, I shouldn't feel any really sorrow for these incredibly rich, good-looking young tennis players, but this guy Team, I mean, what a performance, and to lose by 2 points. Terrible.
John, you're not watching the New York Yankees and the Oakland A's and the
I
New
had
York
that.
Mets?
I had two TVs on. Okay. I did have the Yankees on, but I had the sound on. I like McEnroe. I was watching.
All right. So you win. No, I'm well.
I had the sound on the tennis. I had the Yankees on. Just to make sure I was right on Ohtani. No, I'm just kidding. I had it on.
And you didn't even have the Mets on at all.
I did. Once it was 4-1 Yanks, I turned it over, and then it was 11-4. And I had the Mets on, but at that point, I'm basically asleep.
No, so. I get that. So your vote is NL MVP, right? Isn't that what you told me?
It is NL MVP, yes.
Somebody called
and don't
up.
Ask me my vote, because if I reveal it, I'm excommunicated, so
oh,
I can't
come
do that.
On. They really get all annoyed
know.
About that?
I don't know the vote now. I mean, there's nobody who's clearly stepped out in the NL
somebody, MVP. Somebody called me up on the show about half hour ago and said, hey, Evan, who'd you vote for National League MVP if you had the vote? Do you want to know who I'm voting for if I had the vote?
Who?
Matty Carp. Matt Carpenter. He's the guy.
Yeah. I think a couple weeks ago I said he was in front, and of course I got a million people killing me.
Yeah, Cub fans are all bitter.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, Baez is a good candidate. Yelich is a good candidate. Kane, who I don't know right now, but he led in WAR a little while ago. Geez. I did not think he is in the top 10, even though he led in WAR among the position players. I would put the pitchers in. I would put them all in. Nola, Scherzer, and DeGrom in the top 10 somewhere, but not to win.
Listen,
it.
Listen, you
probably.
Can't put the. I love DeGrom. He should win the Cy Young. He's not the MVP.
I
mean,
I can't give him MVP, but I think at this point, I can't say what my vote's going to be, but I think I'd have him in the top 10 right now.
The problem with Kane, because Kane has had a great year, is that Yelich has also had a great year. Mm-hmm. So you're almost picking between the two of them, two acquisitions.
Yeah, I don't do
that.
I don't do that. You know, I'm not going to punish a guy because his teammate's great, too. And I hope the other voters don't do that. I do think you're probably right. There are people who tend to do that. But in the American League, it should be Betts and Martinez 1 and 2. And you shouldn't say, well, we have to make it 1 and 3 because they're both on the same team. You know, that's ridiculous to me. But somebody will do that. At this point, whether it's Betts or Martinez, I'd kind of slightly favor Betts without looking right now at what the stats are, but someone wants to tell me it's Martinez, that's fine. You know, if someone wants to tell me it's Ramirez, I can go along with that too. But to me, it's Betts and Martinez 1-2, and that should be the way.
And in the National League, to me, seriously, it's between Carpenter and Baez. And I understand both sides of it. The Cubs are in first place, and when you look at the years that Anthony Rizzo had, he got off to a very slow start. Bryant's been hurt. Baez has been their best player. And he's played
fantastic. Incredible. And he is spectacular. As I used it, I invoked spectacular for Ohtani, but he's spectacular, but at little nuances of the game, not at spectacular at pitching, hitting, and whatever.
No.
He's spectacular at making the tag. I mean, you say defensively as well. Versatility. Incredible player. The only thing he doesn't do is walk.
He never walks.
6 weeks without walking. Last I looked, he was leading in RBIs, pretty good. Yelich, I think, was leading in batting average last I looked, thanks to that six-hit game, and the rest of the season's been good, too. But, I think it's kind of Carpenter and Baez at the moment, but I think the pitchers are really great, and there are others that are pretty darn good as well.
You know, so much time, we're talking to John Heyman, you spend so much time with the trade rumors and breaking all these trades. Would you ever have thought when you reported, hey, so the Yankees are making a deal. They're trading Chasen Shreve and Giovanni Gallegos for international money. And, oh, by the way, they're going to get Luke Voit back. Could you ever have imagined that Voit would have this kind of impact? Because
no,
he's been great.
I don't know. They it's amazing. It's like Shane Spencer. I think Joel Sherman wrote that.
I don't think it's like
incredible.
Shane Spencer. I disagree.
If he does it for another... It's another seven or eight home runs. He's like Shane Spencer.
No, but you know what? But, John, you know why? Because I mentioned this earlier, why I don't see, I get why there's a comparison, but why I think it's different is Shane Spencer was excess. You know, the Yankees were the 98 Yankees. They were a million games up. It wasn't as needed as this is. You know, this is more, hey, they're in a race. They're still trying to battle to hold on to the wild card spot. There's that outside shot at the division, though unlikely. Greg Bird stinks. So I think Voit's been more necessary than Spencer.
Yeah, that's fair. Spencer was memorably terrific in September of 98. So, incredible. Never would have thought it. Looking at the winners and losers, and I'm going to look at it again because we've now had two deadlines. Yankees have to be in the top five. They got Happ, who's been their best starter. Arguably, Lynn's been pretty good. I don't know if he's been their second best starter since they got him, but he's been pretty good. And Voit has been unbelievable. So, I do think they needed to get that right-handed hitting outfielder a little earlier than they did. I mean, that's quibbling now because overall they did among the top few in terms of the deadlines, really did a great job.
Last night, the Oakland A's by necessity had to do the whole bullpen thing. They had to do the old opener thing with Liam Hendricks and the rest of the bullpen. Do you think that this is going to become something that really catches on?
No, I don't. And I hope Brian Kenny's not listening because it's like his baby or something, although he does have five real children. he is into it. I get it. And it's caught on more than I would have thought. And Tampa's had great success. And I just think it's teams that lose five or six starters like Oakland has lost, and give them credit for being in the race and being in position. Right now, they're very likely a playoff team. So Bob Melvin, fantastic job by him. Great job by the team. It's amazing what they've done. And with Cahill and Anderson and guys from their distant past in that rotation back again, and Mike Fiers, they did a good job at the deadline, too, getting a bunch of relievers. Some of them done better than others. We know about Familia. There's Kelly. There's Rodney. But I give them credit, and I think they just did it out of necessity based on the fact that they lost Graveman, and they lost Manaea, and they previously lost several other starters, too. So I shouldn't laugh about it. It's really unfortunate. It's an epidemic of lost starters around baseball. Oakland's really been hit.
And I'm glad Kay and Singleton touched on this last night because this bothers me. That ballpark is a disaster, and part of what makes that ballpark a disaster in Oakland are the fans. I'm serious. The stupid drumming, enough. I mean, geez, constantly.
Well, as you know, as everybody knows now, I had the tennis on the sound.
Oh, so you were lucky.
I didn't hear the drumming. I know they did that in Cleveland at one point, right? The guy out in the outfield.
They do, but it doesn't feel constant. It almost feels as if they need to do it because there's nobody in the building.
Yeah. I don't like that, and I don't like the chanting with the Braves, but, I'm an old
tomahawk
quiet guy
chop.
Now. Somebody may like it, and if somebody else likes it, that's good for them.
John, here's the thing about the
fans got to do something in Oakland. I mean, if they're enjoying themselves,
show up.
There, give them credit for being there.
How about they show up? They had 17,000 people there last night.
Well, I'm giving the 17,000 who showed up credit. Hey, it's better than Seattle. They had 11,000, and they got a beautiful park, so no excuse there.
Let's get to Seattle. What the heck happened? They had a brawl in their locker room, man?
I see that. I thought it was funny that D. Gordon asked the reporters to step out politely and then part of the brawl. I mean, I don't know. They thought they were hiding it. I guess they hid some of it. They don't know everybody who brawled. But according to the reports out of Seattle, it was some dispute between Segura and Gordon. And it sounded like there were six people on one side, I don't know which side, and two people on the other, and I don't think they've all been identified, but I thought it was funny when the manager, Scott Servais, he's trying to look on the bright side, I guess, that sometimes these things can help teams. they're done. I'm sorry. They had the same plus-minus, I don't know if you care about plus-minus, they had the same plus-minus as the Mets as of 2 days ago, so, they really shouldn't be a playoff team anyway.
Yeah, so what the great John Heyman means by that is run differential, right? How
yeah,
much
that's really the word for it, run differential. Now, I'm in hockey or basketball or something when I say that. Yeah.
No, I get it. And I think run differential people like to look at as an indicator of what a team is going to do more than anything.
Yeah.
But I'll give you some interesting ones. You know, the Boston Red Sox do not have the highest run differential in the American League. There's a team who's got
Houston,
a higher.
Yeah, Houston has a great.
Houston!
Houston's a great team.
That's right.
They really are.
That's right.
But they didn't have great bullpens, so they lost some close games, and that's what caused them to desperately get Osuna, who nobody thought that was a good move. We'll see. I don't think it was worth doing that. There were other relievers to get. Seattle has Edwin Diaz, who's having an almost historic season. He got 50 saves now in Seattle. So you have that great bullpen. You're apt to win more of the close games, and I think that's Seattle's key right now. But they have some good players, but they're not good enough to be in the playoffs. Not in the American League.
I wonder which player, Segura or Gordon, had more people backing them. Because if it was six versus two,
Well, we got hopefully the Seattle Times and the Athletic and the other entities that cover the Mariners can figure that out today. I'm probably not going to spend a lot of time on that one today.
Oh, I am fascinated. I mean, a brawl between two prominent Mariners like that. And the best part is I can just imagine this. D. Gordon says, all right, everybody, we need you to clear the locker room. I'm about to kick Gene Segura's ass, ladies and gentlemen. He left that part out, but apparently that's what he went out and did.
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, D. Gordon, it doesn't seem like a fighter to me, but great athlete, that's for sure.
All right, quick thing about the bad baseball team who has the same run differential as the Seattle Mariners. What are they doing at GM? Joel Sherman laid it out that there's a split between Fred and Jeff on what kind of philosophy they want to go to. What scares me about this is that I think a lot of good GMs may not want this job, that they'd look at that kind of split and wonder, is this really a good working environment?
Well, I think there's every ownership situation is a situation. You know, I think there's negatives out there about just about any ownership situation at this point. So I think most people will not shy away from the job if they want to be a general manager. If you've already got a job as a general manager, your team's probably not letting you go anyway. Some of those people may not want to change jobs too, so they weren't getting those guys anyway. I suggested on FanCred that Fred is more apt to look for the older scouting type guy, and Jeff is open to the analytic younger guy too. So, but that's probably true everywhere where you've got more than one person who's an owner, and they'll battle it out. You know, what can I say? You know, they've got a lot of names. Right now, I think they've got a long list of names. Some of them are very interesting. I saw Joel mention Shapiro. He's obviously, from people who are at least on the inside, know that Omar is very close to Shapiro. Omar is a point man here in the search. And, that would be an interesting one because Mark Shapiro is the president in Toronto.
Right.
So, we will see if he'd be interested in coming to New York over Toronto. I don't know. You know, there are rumors, but I don't want to, you know, since they're only rumors, not whatever, we don't really know for sure. And Joel's story and my story, they each had like at least a dozen names. So at this point, I don't know that they've got one that they're focusing on.
Let me tell you a story, all right? And it's all going to come full circle. It's about politics, and it's going to come full circle. Are you ready for this story?
Yeah. Go right ahead.
There was a young governor of Texas. His name was George W. Bush. You may have
heard of him.
And he
said... I thought he was a baseball owner.
He was, before that, a baseball owner. And he went to a guy by the name of Dick Cheney, and he said, Mr. Cheney, all right, my father knew you. He trusted you.
Oh, I know this story, yeah.
Can I tell the damn story then?
Yeah, go ahead.
He says to Dick Cheney, he says, look, can you be my vice president, my running mate? And Dick says, no. But what I'll do is I'll help you look for one. And so Cheney does all this research. He tries to find all these good candidates to be Governor Bush's running mate. And the whole time, W wanted Cheney to be his running mate. That's what he wanted. So finally, Cheney comes back and says, all right, I got you the best candidate. You know who it is? It's Dick Cheney. And so Cheney became his running mate. And as you may have heard, he was his vice president for 8 years. Is that what's happening with Omar Minaya? Is Omar Minaya Dick Cheney?
I mean, you hear that rumor, but, you know, there's just a lot of kibitzing, sorry to use the Yiddish, out there about different rumors. I don't think so. I think Omar is legitimately out there looking and is a point man or the point man to find someone else. You know, I think Omar did a pretty good job. He's a terrific scout. He's a great person. I don't think that he's going to be the GM.
Okay. So Omar will not pull a Dick Cheney. That's what you're telling me right now.
I don't think so. Okay. You know, I don't like to rule anything out. He's been it before. I do think if it was all Fred, maybe Omar would be the general manager. But, you know, the fact that we've got two or three owners, you know, I don't think Saul Rubin is really the guy pulling the strings here, but we do have three owners. You know, I think that you're going to have to find someone where you can get a consensus on. I think there's a consensus everybody likes Omar, but I don't know there's a consensus that we want to go back. He did do a very good job and looks like much better in retrospect. You know, obviously during his tenure, they got DeGrom and most of these other pitchers. R.A. Dickey led to the Syndergaard, and Beltran led to the Wheeler, which, you know, you give Sandy credit there for getting Wheeler. But I don't. I think they're going to find somebody who's a compromise between the two entities right now.
Oh boy, it's probably going to be terrible. But John, am I right? It's probably going to be terrible.
I didn't say that.
All right. Well, I'm saying it.
They're not in agreement right now. They'll figure something out.
John. Miguel Andujar for Rookie of the Year. Remember it, okay?
I'm going to keep looking at those stats.
All right. You keep analyzing. Thank you, John.
All right. See you later.
John Heyman here in his weekly spot. Luckily, Yankee fans, I got good news. He does not have a vote in American League or for American League Rookie of the Year.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.